Gospel according to John, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Do I have some children who want to come forward today? Good morning. How are you today? Good. I'm glad to hear that. What holiday do we have coming up this week?
Thanksgiving.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving? You don't know? You're going to whose house? Your grandpa's house. That sounds good. And what do you plan to do there? Swimming is late. It's a little cold for that. Okay, but if you can, you want to swim in the lake. What else do you want to do? Eat turkey. I was hoping you'd say that. Okay, what else? Do you have to talk to people you haven't seen in a while?
Yeah.
What else?
Eat a pig.
Eat a pig. All right. You can eat a pig and eat like a pig. I know that's one of my problems. Somehow I always seem to overeat on Thanksgiving. That's because on Thanksgiving we have special food, too, don't we? We don't... No, not for you?
I don't know.
You don't know? You see, I like special food for special occasions. What about the rest of you?
Yes.
You know, if you ate turkey every single day, would turkey be special for Thanksgiving?
No.
Nah, not really. I know how disappointed I was one year when I went home and visited my parents. And my dad decided to make steak for Thanksgiving. I said, "Steak for Thanksgiving?" He said, "Yeah, I'm going to barbecue steak." I said, "But it's Thanksgiving. Where's the turkey?" And my mother said, "Well, there's some turkey TV dinners in the freezer." Like, no, this is disappointing. I want turkey on Thanksgiving. Or at least I want ham on Thanksgiving. Steak, as much as I like steak, steak is not what I expect. Are there any things this year that you're thankful for that you wouldn't have expected to be thankful for?
Thanksgiving.
You're thankful for Thanksgiving, okay. Has anything happened this year that's been unexpected that you're thankful for?
Eating ham.
Eating ham, okay. From a pig, yeah, ham comes from a pig. That's right. How about the rest of you? Anyone here thankful for something that was unexpected this year? I see head shaking, but I'm not hearing anything.
My two boys coming to visit.
Your two boys coming to visit.
Where do they live?
Where do they live?
In California and Virginia. They came in August when the weather was really good.
Mine's in Minnesota.
Okay, this is in Minnesota. Yeah, that's one thing, is we want to see people who are far away. I wish I could see my family. They're far away. But I'm not going to have a chance to see them. So I have all of you as my family.
Yes.
Which is good. I'm glad to have more and more family as time goes on.
I wonder if some of us maybe think of having a settled pastor as being unexpected.
Well, thank you for saying so.
And thankful.
And I can say it, I never would have expected to come to Wyoming. This was not in my plans. It was obviously in God's plans. And my husband keeps telling me,
I had always dreamed of being able to go back to Wyoming, and I never thought it was going to be possible. So that's the thing. God does the unexpected and the surprising. And that's what we talk about when we talk about this day, which is Christ the King. Because people were expecting a king who was going to be a regular sort of king. He was expecting a king who was going to come through on his war horse with his army. He was going to wipe out all the Romans from the land, and the people would be free again. And it didn't quite happen that way. We don't ever read in the Gospels of Jesus being a warrior riding on a war horse, do we? Raising large armies and wiping out the Romans. But we do have freedom because of him, a different sort of freedom than people were expecting. We have, instead of freedom from things of this world, we have freedom for eternal life. We have freedom from sin. We have the ability to live with God forever. And that is something I think we should be thankful for every day, not just on Christ the King Sunday, but every day. So let us pray. Oh Christ our King, we thank you for your coming in such an unexpected way to be such an unexpected king. We ask, Lord, that we remember you and place you as king of our lives every day. Amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you so much for joining me.
O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So what does it mean to call Christ a king? No one currently alive can remember when our nation was governed by a king. That was a long time ago, and I had relatives who fought in that war of independence. We have little experience with the idea of having a king as our leader. As Jesus said to Pilate, he is not a king like earthly kings. His kingdom is not like that of other kings. His kingdom does not come through domination of others, through warfare, or through aggression. It comes through love and relationship. What does it mean to call Christ our king? It is to put Christ at the center of our lives. It is to open up our hearts and say, "Thy kingdom come." It is to recognize the sovereignty of Christ, to trust in his message, and to hope for the new life that he brings to us now and the life to come. It is to invite Christ to transform us so that we can become witnesses of his love to others. As we come to the end of this liturgical year and look ahead to the season of Advent, let's look back and see times in the past year when we've looked at who Jesus is and come to understand more and more what it means when we call Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One, and call him our King. The first instance is noted in today's Gospel. It is for this that Jesus was born. Last Advent, we read this passage from the Gospel of Mark. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. On Christmas Day, the reading was from the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. On Epiphany, we saw God's glory being revealed in Jesus upon his baptism by John, as is written in Mark's Gospel. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." During Lent, we read from John, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." In the readings of Holy Week, we see Jesus riding into Jerusalem to shouts of Hosanna. In a sermon for Palm Sunday in 1534, Martin Luther explained the significance of Jesus riding on a donkey instead of a powerful war horse. He said, "The Christ King comes to Zion's daughter humbly, riding on a donkey. He does not rule a realm where men gather wealth and property, conduct wars, become rich and powerful in this world, all the marks of worldly kings. Now Christ does not reject or even condemn earth. But in the realm where he is king and lord, he is not concerned about teaching us how to farm, plow, sow, harvest, be a housekeeper, pile up money, conduct war, or rule over land and people. All such things he entrusts to earthly kings and lords. Our Christ King wants us to know how to inherit the kingdom of heaven, how to be saved and become eternally rich, so that we may finally enter that other, better life. Over there, eating, drinking, and working to sustain physical life will no longer be necessary, as it always is in this world. There, we will no longer be sad, weak, or sick, but everlastingly happy and healthy, strong and vigorous. In this kingdom and by his word, Christ not only teaches us that we are poor, lost sinners, condemned to death and in the devil's clutches, but also that through his death and blood, he has redeemed us from our sins, from death and the power of the devil, so that by faith in him, we are righteous and blessed forever. What wonderfully different teaching, wisdom, and insight this is compared with what is offered by human reason, legal experts, and the wives of the world, namely how to live here and now, managing house and home, acquiring goods, and protecting land and family. Even if we do not live here a long, long time, finally and eventually, we still have to depart and leave it all behind." And he continued, "This is the reason why Christ entered Jerusalem as he did, without worldly pomp, meekly riding on a donkey. Thereby he not only wanted to fulfill the words of the prophet, but also to point out the manner and character of his kingdom, so that we may never be deluded into thinking that he came to earth to help us become rich and heap up treasure, when actually he came so that we might be delivered from sin, death, and the devil, and become truly rich in the life beyond. To sum this up, this then was his true purpose in coming to earth, his kingdom's real nature and power and fruit, namely, that we might one day escape this wretched, mortal, decaying existence and enter that happy, glorious, eternal life beyond." Our reading for today is also part of the Holy Week narrative, as Jesus is brought before Pilate before being condemned to death. As we contemplate what Jesus has done for us, taking our sins upon himself and dying so that we might live, we should pause. What kind of king loves his people enough to die for them? But death is not the end of the story. Instead, on Easter morning, we heard how Jesus conquered death. The reading from John described the scene outside the tomb, where the stone had been rolled away and Mary Magdalene stood weeping, wondering who had taken away the body. She saw Jesus but did not recognize him, saying, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And upon hearing her name, Mary turned around and recognized her teacher and Lord. At Pentecost, We celebrated the giving of the Holy Spirit. We read from John that Jesus said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be with you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live." Throughout ordinary time, we read about what it means to be a follower of Christ. We saw Jesus calling his first disciples, fishermen who left their nets in order to fish for people. They were joined by people from various walks of life, some of whom became part of the inner group of apostles. We heard hard teachings about not putting stumbling blocks in the paths of those who seek to follow Christ, and about removing anything from our lives that prevents us from following Jesus. We saw Jesus' love for the poor, for children, for the marginalized, and for the disenfranchised. And now we come to Christ the King Sunday, where we celebrate the here and not yet kingdom of God. We know that through Christ's death and resurrection, sin and death have been conquered, and we await the day when all the world lives under Christ's loving reign. Our King is one who rides on a donkey rather than a war horse, who wears a crown of thorns rather than a crown of gold, who came to serve and taught us to do likewise. Let us echo the words we heard today from the book of Revelation. "Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. For he is the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. May Christ reign in our hearts as our King, now and forever. Amen." Amen. Let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." Now let us join together in the hymn of the day, "Come Thou Almighty King." It is number 408. You hold firm amid the changes of this world. Hear us now as we pray for the church, the world, and everyone in need. God, you sent your Son Jesus to testify to the truth. We pray for preachers, missionaries, evangelists, and teachers who carry your forgiveness and love to the world. Fill their words and actions with compassion and kindness so that your truth will shine. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God, you sent your Son Jesus to liberate all of creation. We pray for all living things longing for the freedom to flourish, from ancient trees and wild grasses to endangered animals and rare insects. Give human beings compassionate hearts to care for them. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God, you sent your Son Jesus to lead us into the way of peace. Direct the members of international alliances in choosing a nonviolent path toward the future. Give them the humility and wisdom to make just decisions to benefit all. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God, you sent your Son Jesus to make us into your own people, set free to serve you. We pray for people who serve the well-being of others, especially ministries in our community. Renew them in their work. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God, you sent your Son Jesus to rule in all times and places. We pray for the friends of our congregation who are unable to join our worship in person and for all who are sick and suffering. Join their prayers with ours and unite them with us in the body of Christ. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God, you sent your Son Jesus to be our beginning and our ending. We give thanks for those whose lives have given us a glimpse of Jesus' reign in justice and peace. Empower us to join their witness. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
At this time, we raise up to our God those things that are on our heart. We name them either out loud or in the quietness of our hearts. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God, our hope and strength, we entrust to you all for whom we pray. Remain with us always, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us offer one another a sign of peace. And we thank you for sending in your offering to the church or giving through online banking. Let us join together in our offertory, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful, is number 184.
Our duty and our joy,
that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. My body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift, in faith toward you, and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand as you are able for the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Let us join together in our sending song, Crown Him with Many Crowns. It is number 855.
Thank you. Thank you.